All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Ayin Aleph. We are picking up from Ayin Amud Beis. So today's daf is 71. We're picking up from 71. We're picking up from 70B. Well, so let's just go back quickly to the two dots. We ended up a few lines in from there, but let's pick up quickly from there. So remember, the Mishnah said, Ganav Umachar B'Shabbos. So the Mishnah said that if a person stole an animal and sold it on Shabbos, Yuchayiv Arba V'Chamisha. Yuchayiv the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. Why Yuchayiv Arba V'Chamisha? Because it was at the end of the day, there's no kimli b'drabim mine. Because when I go ahead and I sell something on Shabbos, that doesn't incur any type of capital liability, and therefore again I'm chayiv for dalit vehe. So says the Gemara Vatanya Potter. We have a brisa that says that if you stole and sold an animal on Shabbos, that's your potter. So we'll say, remember again, this is stole and sold. Everybody's agreeing that if you sold and shechted, then what? The halacha is your potter from Arba V'Chamisha, the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. Why? Kimle b'dirabimine. Because since you're chayiv a death penalty for Shabbos, therefore you will be potter ultimately again for financial liability for Dalet Behe. So we'll say, Sa'ai the brisa says that if you stole an animal and sold it on Shabbos, that you are potter from Dalet Behe, which makes, so what does that mean? Aroni Barchama Kitanya he the potter, but Omer lo, akot zlecha te'ene mitena. See? V'tikni la gnevo sech. We'll say, what's the case? The case over is where Reuven stole an animal, and he was selling it to Shimon. And Shimon told him, okay, I want to purchase the animal. Do me a favor, the purchase price, I'm going to pay you in figs. Go ahead and take a fig off my tree. And Reuven did this on Shabbos. So we'll say, in a situation like this, remember that he's in violation of the melach of kotzer, of reaping or of harvesting, uprooting something from the place where it grew. And therefore, again, that'll be a case where there will be Shabbos liability. So when he plucks the fig off the tree, he is chayv a death penalty for public desecration and violation of Shabbos. And therefore, again, that's the case of the Braisa, where he would be potter from Dalet Vehe, because he is chayv liability to a death sentence on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Amri, v'chevan d'chitavalei kamei bedina, lo amrina le'zil shalim. So we'll listen to this. The Gemara says, really? Let's play this out. Let's say Shimon were to go ahead and bring Reuven to Beis Din, because Shimon had agreed to go ahead and purchase the animal. And what happens? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, let's say the owner of the fig, meaning Shimon in this case, had brought Reuven to Beis Din, and ultimately again had sued him, because let's say Reuven went ahead and took the fig but didn't deliver the animal. So is such a judgment be enforceable in Beis Din? So the answer, of course, is no, because this entire transaction is illegal. Therefore, if that's the case, we would not ultimately tell Reuven to go ahead and pay. So we'll say the same way that if, let's say again, Shimon, the proposed buyer, were to bring Reuven to Beis Din, right? Because let's say Reuven did not fulfill his end of the transaction, that Beis Din would not rule in such a case like this, because Reuven himself is chayav misa for plucking off the fig. So could it be again that this is a bona fide sale? What the Gemara is essentially asking over here is, does it make sense to say that a sale that includes an action that violates Shabbos and incurs a death penalty would be a valid mechira? Meaning the Gemara just has problems dealing with that on a transactional level. Ela Amar Papa, what's the case? But Omer Elo, so remember, we're trying to figure out, we need a case now of a sale of a stolen object that could result in a death penalty on Shabbos. That's what we're looking for. Because we're looking for a case essentially where you're stealing and selling an animal on Shabbos, and you are potter from Dalet Vehe. You're potter for the 4 and 5 time penalty payment, ultimately again because you are liable to a death penalty. So what's that case? Ela Amra Papa, Ba Omer Lo, Zrok Gnevo Sech Lechatzeri. And Papa says, here's the case. Reuven steals the animal. He's selling it to Shimon. Shimon says, throw it into my chatzar, v'tikni li gnivo seich, and I will acquire the stolen object. So we'll say, so remember again, that act of throwing it from one rishus to another is what? Is an act of hotzah, right? Is an act of transferring an object from one domain to another on Shabbos, which if done intentionally, carries with it a chiyuv misa. So we'll say that would be the case ultimately of a sale that results in capital liability, which then would exempt the individual from Dalet Vehe, because he'd be chayiv misa. Kiman. So we'll say, who's bringing this reflects? Rabbi Akiva, Damar Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. We'll say this reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that once an object ultimately again comes into the airspace of a Rishus, it's as if it has come to rest in that Rishus. The Ikirabanon, because if it was like the Rabbanon, Kevan the Machi, the Chatzir Beiso, Kana, because we'll say the way, because according to the Rabbanon, generally the Rabbanon say that when an object comes into your airspace, you acquire that object. However, Shabbos Lamechayiv ad the Machi La'ara. But Rabbanon say, ultimately, again, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, you are not chayiv for transferring an item from one domain to another until what? Until ultimately that object reaches the ground. So we'll say, so again, the Gemara is just pointing out over here that this case only works according to Rabbi Akiva if you hold that for Shabbos purposes, airspace is as if the item is at rest. Because then what you have over here is you have simultaneity. Once Reuven throws the object into Shimon's Rishus, and the object goes into Shimon's airspace, then there is a simultaneous dual liability. There is on one hand, what? Violation of Shabbos. I've transferred an item from one Rishus to another. And there's also what? There's also the sale, so to speak, but there is the sale of a stolen item. Both of those things are happening simultaneously. As opposed to the Rabbanan of Osai, where what? When the item comes into the airspace, the transaction ultimately is completed, because airspace can acquire for transactional purposes, but the liability for Shabbos does not happen until when? The item comes to rest on the ground. To which the Gemara says, no, you can make it according to everyone. Ba'omer lo tikni li genevo seich achet tanuach. We'll say we're ultimately Shimon, the purchaser says, I don't want to acquire the item until it comes to rest on the ground. If that's the case, if he makes that tonight, then everything occurs simultaneously, both the theft as well as the transfer for Shabbos purposes. To which the Gemara says, Rava Amar Rava says, the only Rami Bar Chama. Rava says, no, I like Rami Bar Chama's interpretation. Remember, Rami Bar Chama's case was what? Reuven stole the item, selling it to Shimon. Shimon says what? Shimon says, listen, here's the payment. I'm going to pay you in the figs. Go pick the fig off my tree. Reuven does so. For the act of picking the fig, there is a capital liability, and therefore he's going to be pater from Dalid Vey. He's going to be pater for the 4 and 5 times penalty payment. So says the Gemara, Rava Amar the Olam Krayim Rachamo, Esnon Osra Torah, Va'afilu Ba'al Imo. So it's an interesting case. So the halacha is, Esnon Zona, if a man pays a harlot for her services, and let's say he goes ahead and he pays her with an animal, that animal is not permitted to be offered up as a karban. It's the halacha. So we'll say, let's say the following situation. Let's say a man committed an act of incest with his mother. And what? And went ahead and was going to pay her for her services. V'itava le'kaman bedina. Mi'amrina le'kum havla. So we'll say, imagine the following case. The mother comes to Beis Din. And she says, My son didn't pay me. So would Beis Din go ahead and enforce the claim of the mother in such a case like this? So the answer, of course, is no. And yet what? Mi amrina le kum havla. Would Beis Din say to the son, no, you owe your mother the animal? So the Gemara says, Ella afagav dechi tavala bedina lo amrina le zil havla. So you see from here that what? Even though in this case, Beis Din would never enforce the claim of the mother, kevan dechi yavla havi esnan. But I will say, if the son were to give the mother, the animal, that animal would have the status of an esnan zona. So we'll say, the point the Gemara is making over here is that sometimes you could have a situation where a transaction is unenforceable in a court of law, but it's still a bona fide transaction. So this is the, so you understand what the Gemara is trying to say over here. Here you have the situation where if the son committed the act of incest with the mother, and he promised her money for it, he promised her the animal, and he doesn't pay, and she comes to Beis Din and tries to say, my son owes me the animal, Beis Din will say, you're crazy, get out of here, we're not dealing with this case, but yet, so the transaction is not enforceable, yet, if he were to give her the animal itself would have the status of an esnan zona. So it's not enforceable in a court of law, but lamaisa, it is still a valid transaction. To which the Gemara says, Hachanami, last line, Hachanami, afagav d'le'in tashlumin, itava bedina kamalo amina zil shlim. So we'll say, so too in the fig case, ultimately again, If let's say, if let's say, if let's say Shimon were to come to Beis Din and he were to say that Lamaisa again, Lamaisa, there's not enough figs, or the figs are not worth enough money, so the claim would not be enforceable in a Beis Din. Afiluachi tapavayin aleph, afiluachi kevan dekamakni lebahachi havya mechira. But since at the end of the day, this is how Shimon, the purchaser, is going ahead and purchasing the item. Therefore, again, the transaction itself still stands. So therefore, again, Rami Bar Chaim, the Gemara wants to suggest that Rami Bar Chaim's approach could still apply, and you could have a transaction where even though it's not enforceable, is still considered to be a legitimate transaction. So the Maisa, again, all the Gemara understand, just bottom line, what the Gemara was just trying to prove over here was trying to come up with a case of where you could be pater from Dalet Vehei, even in just a simple act of mechira, a simple act of sale. Because remember, everyone agrees that if you slaughtered the animal on Shabbos, then of course you're going to be pater from Dalet Vehei, because that's an obvious case of where you're in violation of Shabbos. There's a death penalty, you're pater from Dalet Vehei. The Gemara just tried to explain to us that now we see there is a case where even under a normal situation of sale, you could construct a case where the Maisa, because the sale involved Chilul Shabbos, therefore again, you will, because you are chayav a death penalty, you'll be potter from Dalet Vehei. Fine. Ganav v'tavach v'yom kippurim. So remember again, the Mishnah also said that if you stole the animal and slaughtered it on Yom Kippur, so the Mishnah also paskins that you are chayav Dalet Vehei. Now remember, why is that? Because the Mishnah explained on Yom Kippur, you are chayiv karis. Because the only time we say kimle b'derabamine, that you are exempt because of a more severe liability, is only in a case where there is a death penalty. Kimle b'derabamine, the Mishnah suggests, does not apply to karis. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, if you violate Yom Kippur, you're chayiv karis. Therefore, because it's not a misas based in, you'll be chayiv dalavei. You have to pay the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. So the Gemara says, Amri, Amai, why is that you chayiv dalavei? On Yom Kippur, nihi dekatla leka, even though there's no death penalty, malkos mihaika. But I both say there are malkos, right? If you violate Yom Kippur, so you might not receive a death penalty in a Beis Din. There might be kares, but lamaisi, you are definitely subject to malkos. The kaimalon de'ina loke umushani. And I both say you have a general principle that says you can't get malkos and pay. There's usually not dual liability for both malkos as well as payment. To which the Gemara says, Amri, ha money, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Meir, he da'amar loko mishalim. I will say, so the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that we do say loko mishalim, that you do go ahead and what? You do get malchus and pay. See, Rabbi Meir, if that's the case, that's Rabbi Meir, if you look tavach b'shabis. So according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbosai, if that's the case, then even in the situation where you slaughtered the animal on Shabbos, you should also be chayiv dalet vein. In other words, Rabbosai, we are assuming right now that if Rabbi Meir holds loke umishalim, that you have to pay even when you incur a liability of malchus, that perhaps Rabbi Meir would hold that what? That afilu misu mishalim, even when you are subject to a death penalty, you should also have to pay. To which the Gemara says, v'chitim loke umishalim islay, misu mishalim leslay. Or maybe you'll say, no. Rabbi Meir holds loke umishalim. Rabbi Meir only holds that in a case where you're subject to malchus, when you get malchus, you have to pay as well. Rabbi Meir does not say what? That if you're subject to a death penalty, you have to pay. So the Gemara says, "Velo, is that true?" V'hat Tanya, we learned, "Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos." If a person went ahead and stole an animal and slaughtered it on Shabbos, or "Ganav v'tavach la'avodah zarah," or I will say, a person stole and slaughtered an animal and sacrificed it to idolatry. Ganav shar haniskal. Because remember, shar haniskal is a shar that is going to be put to death because it killed someone. So if you went ahead and you stole a shar haniskal, utavacho, and you slaughtered it. So in all of these cases, I will say, mishalim arba v'chamisha div Rabbi Meir. In all of these cases, you pay the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. These are the words of Rabbi Meir, which I will say seems to say what? Remember, we're specifically focusing on the case of Tavach B'Shabbos, right? So Bryce explicitly says that if you stole an animal and you slaughtered it on Shabbos, you do have to pay Dalet Vehei. These are, which sounds like what? That according to Rabbi Meir, not only does Rabbi Meir hold Lokum Mishalim, not only does Rabbi Meir say that you can get Malkus and pay, but what? It sounds like what? That Rabbi Meir also holds that even Mishalim, that even in a case where you pay, that you'll pay even in a case where there is a Chiyuv Misa. To which the Gemara says, V'cham potrin, V'cham discreet Rabbi Meir, and they hold in all of these cases, you'll be potter from Dalet Vehei. So Amri, Bar, Minei, Dahi. So says the Gemara, don't bring this braisa into this discussion. Right? This braisa is off limits. What's wrong with the braisa? The ha'itmarala, because it was what we said regarding this braisa. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Eloi, v'chol chavrus mishmid, Rabbi Yochanan, Amri. So we'll say all of these people, and then Rabbi Yochanan said, b'toveach ayideh acher. Oh, I will say this is fascinating. What's the case of the braisa? The case of the braisa, I will say, is where Reuven stole the object, Reuven stole the animal on Shabbos, and what? He gave it to Shimon, and Shimon slaughtered it on Reuven's behalf. Shimon slaughtered on Reuven's behalf. So we'll say, so this is the case of the braisa. So Shimon slaughtered on Reuven's behalf on Shabbos, or Shimon slaughtered on Reuven's behalf for Avodah Zarah, but that's the case. And that's why the braisa rules that Reuven the Ganav will still be chayiv dalid vehei, arba v'chamisha, 4 and 5 time penalty. Why? Because Reuven himself did not commit the act of chilul Shabbos. His shaliach did on his behalf, so he's going to be responsible for it. He'll have to pay the dalid vehei, but there's no kimle b'dirabim mine because Reuven himself did not do the act and incur the liability. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't make sense. We'll say, do we have ever such a concept like this, that one person sins and the other person is liable? So we'll say, what you're telling me over here is, let's play this case out. Reuven steals the animal, gives it to Shimon, says, Shimon, do me a favor, slaughter this animal on my behalf. It's Shabbos, all of this is happening on Shabbos. So you're going to tell me now that Reuven is chayiv dalid vehei, because of the actions of Shimon? I must say, that doesn't make any sense. Shimon is the one who's committing the Avera. It's true. Now, Reuven committed the Avera of theft. He's got to bear responsibility for that. But for the act of slaughtering the animal, and what engenders the Dalet Vehei, ultimately, again, how could Shimon be responsible for that? How could Reuven be responsible for that? Those are the actions of Shimon. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Shiny Hacha Damakra, Utva Ho'u Macharo. To which the Gemara answers, this case is different. Why is this case different? Because by Dalet Vehei it says, if a person steals the animal, Utevacho o Mecharo, and he slaughters it or he sells it. Ma Mechira Ayide Acher. So we'll say, just like a sale requires a third party, Aftavicha Ayide Acher. So Tzrabo said, the Torah is teaching me by equating Mechira and Tavicha, to teach you that just as I sell to a third party, so too if a third party did the Shechita, I, the Ganiv, am still going to be Chayiv v'dedalid vehe, which we'll say is a remarkable, remarkable drasha. So even though we normally say in shliach l'dvar aveira, right, here seems to be the exception to the rule, at least according to this opinion. So namely, that again, that if Reuven steals the animal, goes ahead and enlists Shimon's help. Shimon has to slaughter it. So even though, and let's say this is happening on Shabbos, so Shimon, of course, will be chayiv for the violation of Shabbos, right? That's his own act. But Reuven will be chayiv the dalid vehei, because lemaisa, again, Shimon is acting on his behalf. And there's no kimle midirabim mine exemption. Why? Because Reuven is not the one who's subject to the death penalty. Shimon is. Incredible, incredible yisod. So the Rabbi Shmuel Tana, so we'll say in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they said, oh, l'rabos es hashliach. So they say the same drasha, but a different way of learning it out. Oh, the word oh comes to include a shaliach. The rabos say, even if the ganav engages an agent, and that agent slaughters the animal on the ganav's behalf, the ganav is going to be chayiv the dalet vehei. The bechizkiya tana, in the yeshiva of chizkiya they taught, tachos l'rabos es hashaliach. The word tachos comes to teach me that even if a shaliach slaughters the animal, the thief will still be chayiv dalet vehei. Okay, so Maskif la Marzutra. So Bosse Marzutra says this is crazy. Mi ika midi di ilu avid ihu lo mechayiv. So we'll say, Rav Zutra says, I'll tell you why I don't understand this works. In general, we'll say, a shaliach, right, an agent, cannot be any stronger than the principal. So whatever the principal would have been chayiv for, so I'm chayiv if I engage a shaliach to do the same thing. But could it be that there'd be an act for which the principal would be potter, but now if the agent does it, I'm chayiv? So we'll say, what is Rav Zutra referring to? The Shabbos case. If Reuven were to go ahead and steal and slaughter the animal on Shabbos, what would be the halacha? He's potter, right? He's potter from Dalet Vehei because of Kilim D'Rabim Minei. Now if his shaliach does it, he's going to be chayiv in Dalet Vehei. It doesn't make sense. I mean, if something that I would do myself, I would be potter from Dalet Vehei. And now that I engage a shaliach, I'm going to be chayiv in Dalet Vehei. It doesn't make sense. Amar Vashi Rashi says, yes, it does. Because hasam la mishum lo mechayivu, ela de kimlein b'dirabimine. Bosei is a very important sort of Ashi says, Bosei, when we say that if the thief steals the animal on Shabbos and he slaughters it, that he gets death penalty and is exempt from Dalet Vehei. So Ravashi raises a little bit of an issue. He says, exempt is not really the right word. There's a technical issue over here. I'm liable for Dalet Vehei. It's just that there's a principle that when there is a death penalty, the financial penalty is set aside. So we'll say there's a chilik between saying exempt and set aside. Exempt means there's no liability. Set aside means there is liability, but what? But what? Beis Din is choosing not to enforce that liability. So says the Gemara, says Rav Ashi, that's killing the dam. So killing the dam means when Reuven steals the animal and slaughters it on Shabbos of Osai, he is chayiv dalet vehei. He's absolutely chayiv dalet vehei, but because he's also chayiv a death penalty now for desecration of Shabbos, so the halachic system sets aside the penalty for dalet vehei and what? Just enforces the death penalty. So we'll say the reason why this is important is because of the following. Therefore, if someone else is acting on my behalf, or on Ghana's behalf, Reuven steals the animal on Shabbos, gives it over to Shimon. Shimon slaughters it. So because Rabbi said there is no conflict within Reuven right now, the obligation for Dalet Vehei absolutely will apply when the animal is slaughtered by a third party. Now, of course, this only works when you have the additional drushas that tell you that you could incur a liability of Dalet Vehei through a shaliach. Because remember, had I not had these drushas from the Psukim, I would have assumed that what? That what? Ein shliach l'dvar avera. And therefore, again, there's no way that I could incur a liability for Dalet Vehei through someone's actions. Therefore, I need the Psukim to teach me that that concept exists. Once the concept exists, then by definition, it's not a stira, because in reality, the God of himself is also chayv in Dalet Vehei. Just when he's also committed the act that warrants a death penalty, the rabbis choose not to enforce the Dalet Vehei. But when someone else is doing the slaughtering, then, and therefore, again, there's no death penalty upon the thief, the rabbis absolutely ascribe the actions of, we'll call it the third party, to the Ganav, and therefore the Ganav will be Chayiv Dalet Vehei. Says the Gemara, V'ibito v'yachayiv v'acher, my time with Rabban and the Patri. Suppose if that's the case, then why do the Rabbanon pater? In other words, in this case where Reuven stole the animal and he gives it to Shimon, it's all on Shabbos, and Shimon slaughters it, so why do the Rabbanon say that Reuven is not Chayev Dalet Vehei? So Amri Man Ram Chacham, we say, who are the Chacham? And Rabbi Shimon, Damer Shchita She'ino Re'uya Lo Shema Shchita. So we'll say, who are the Chacham? The Chacham Rabbi Shimon, who say that an unfit Shchita is not a valid shechita. In other words, a shechita that does not render the animal fit for consumption is not considered to be a true shechita. Therefore, I will say, if that is the case, then what? If that is the case, then lemaisa again. If that is the case, then you won't be chayiv dalet. In other words, apparently, you're only chayiv dalet vehei when the shechita is a bona fide shechita. But if the shechita is not a good shechita, then by definition, you're not chayiv dalet vehei. Says the man, what's wrong with the shechita? Bishlam avodazar v'shar niskal shechita shein ro'uyehi. So I understand, let's go back to the Braisa. In the Braisa's cases, I understand when you shecht an animal for avodazara, why you want to say, according to the Rabbana, that you're not chayiv dalet vehei, because it's a shechita shein ro'uyeh. Well, so why is it a shechita shein ro'uyeh, an unfit shechita? Why? Because if you go ahead and you slaughter an animal for avodazara, what's the status of that animal? No, you can't get a benefit from it. Therefore, again, it's a shechita she'ein ru'uya. Same idea, that if you go out and you take an animal that is condemned to be killed because he killed someone else, that animal is also asr ba'ana. It's prohibited from getting any benefit from it. Therefore, if you slaughter it, it's a shechita she'ein ru'uya. El Shabbos, shechita ru'uya. But I will say, I don't understand. In a case, so remember, just follow the train of thought over here. So far, what we have on one hand, is the opinion that says, remember, just so you understand, we don't understand what we're trying to accomplish. We have a contradiction. The Mishnah says that if Reuven the thief stole the animal on Shabbos and sold it, that lemaisa again, you are a potter from Dalet Vehei. Right? You're potter, you are exempt from the 4 and 5 time penalty payments. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The Mishnah said you're chayiv for the 4 and 5 time penalty payments, which makes sense logically, because since there's no death sentence, there's no death penalty, therefore you're going to be chayiv. We have a braisa that says that you're potter. So we're trying to reconcile those two statements. So far what we've arrived at is that the case of the braisa where it says that you're potter is going to be what kind of situation? No, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up two cases. Gun of a Tal B'Yom Kippur. I'm sorry, I was looking back at the previous two dots. So remember, the Mishnah said at the end of the day, we're trying to figure out in the case, ultimately again, of the Braisa. The Braisa's case was where what? I'm going ahead and I'm stealing an object on Shabbos. And what happens? Gun of the Tavach Umbachar. So I go ahead and I slaughter, I steal and I slaughter the animal on Shabbos. And so the Braisa paskind that I'm chayiv dalad vehei. The Mishnah paskind I'm potter dalad vehei. So what's going on? So far the way we've set it up according to Rabbi Meir is what? That I'm Reuven stealing it, giving it over to Shimon, and Shimon slaughtering it. So what's going to be the halacha in that case? I'm going to be chayiv, Reuven's going to be chayiv dalad vehei in that case. Why? Because lemais, again, there's no kimli midirav aminei, right? Because again, remember, Reuven himself is not stealing and slaughtering, but yet the actions of Shimon are misyachis, are connected ultimately to Reuven through the gzeras hakasim. So they will say, that works all according to Rabbi Meir. Why do the Rabbanon ultimately go ahead and pater Reuven in that case from dalad vehei? To which the Gemara answers, because the Rabbanon hold that only time you're chayiv dalad vehei is when the shechita is a proper shechita, right? But apparently in these cases of the Braisa, the shechita is not a proper shechita. So asks the Gemara, well, let's go through the cases. I understand if you steal an animal and you slaughter for Avodah Zarah, I understand why that shechita is not proper. Why? Why? Because anything slaughtered for Avodah Zarah is what? Asr Bando. Fine. I also understand why if you take a Shar Niskal, which is an animal condemned to death because he killed someone, and you slaughter it, it's also not a Shechit, it's a Shechit Dishenir, it's not a Fish Shechit. Why? Because the animal is Asr Bando. But I will say, if you take an animal on Shabbos, right, and you slaughter that animal on Shabbos, granted, it's Asr, and you may be chayav a death penalty, but what? But what? It's kosher. It might even be glatt, right? It might even be glatt. So so I don't understand why is that called the shechita she'ino ru'uya, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. This nan, hashochit b'Shabbos Yom Kippur, is actually fascinating halacha. If one goes in and checks an animal, on Shabbos Ran Yom Kippur, afa pishem ischai b'nafsho, even though both say you've done an act that warrants a death penalty, nevertheless, shechita so k'sher, the shechita is good. First wide line, ayin aleph amud aleph. Amri, so several say, see over here, that's what? That even when you shecht an animal on Shabbos and there's a death penalty, the shechit itself is still good. To which the Gemara says, the Rabbanon hold, Amri, Savra lak Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. The Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. This nan, Hamavashal b'Shabbos, we'll say, if one goes ahead and cooks on Shabbos, b'shogeg yochal, b'mezid lo yochal devarimir. So we'll say, Rabbanon holds that if one went ahead, let's say I wake up in the morning, I forget that it's Shabbos. I make myself an omelet. So Rabbi Meir says, as long as I did it accidentally, if it was b'shogeg, I can eat it. If it is b'mezid, I can't eat it. Rabbi Huda says, b'shogeg yochal b'matzei Shabbos, b'mezid lo yochal olam. So Rabbi Huda says, if it was done accidentally, you could eat it matzei Shabbos. You could eat it matzei Shabbos. So Shabbos, you can't eat it at all. But if he did it intentionally, you can never get benefits from that food item. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, b'shogeg yochal l'matzei Shabbos l'achirim. Lo, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, Rabbi Osei, that when you go ahead and you violate Shabbos, and you act and you cook something, whether you did it accidentally or, well, even if you did it accidentally, you may never get benefits from that object. The difference is that what? On matzei Shabbos, others could get benefit from the object. However, b'mezid, lo yochal olamis. But if he did it intentionally, the item is forever forbidden for benefit. Lo, velo lacherim. Not to you, the perpetrator, and not to others. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting over here that what? That the Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Therefore, what? So Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, if you were to go ahead and intentionally shecht an animal on Shabbos, what would happen? What would happen? It would be asr b'hanah. So because it would be asr b'hanah, therefore what? That's called the shechita she'ina ru'uya. It's called an unfit shechita. And if it's an unfit shechita, at least according to the Rabbanon, then what? You'll be pater dalad vehei. You'll be pater for the 4 and 5 time penalty payments. The Gemara is just by on the side. My time to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. What's Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's logic? I mean, why does Rabbi Yochanan Sandler hold like this? Kididarish Rabbi Chiya, apischa de benesia. Because he holds like the teaching, as espoused Rabbi Chiya at the entrance of the Reish Kalusa's home. What did Rabbi Chiya say? Ushmartem es ha-Shabbos. You shall go ahead and guard the Shabbos. Why? Ki kodesh hi lochem. For it is sanctified to you. Ma kodesh asr ba'achila. So just like something that is sanctified is asr ba'achila. Is off limits from regular normative consumption. So af ma'aseh Shabbos asurin ba'achila. So to Rabbi say, anything you generate on Shabbos, will also be asra ba'achila, pretty strong. Ima kodesh asra ba'ano, af ma'isa shavis asra ba'ano. But if that's the case, maybe you should say that just like sacrificial or sanctified items are prohibited from benefit, so too anything you produce from Shabbos should be asra ba'ano as well. Talmud lomar lochem, but therefore the pasuk says for you, shelochem yehei. Then ultimately, again, what you do, although you may never consume it, it's like kodesh, but lomaisi, you can get hanah from it. So also what that means is, let's say, according to Yochanan Sandler, if a person were to purposely, let's say, shecht the animal on Shabbos, or let's say, purposely cook the omelet on Shabbos, so according to Yochanan Sandler, one could never get benefit from that. The perpetrator no one could ever eat it, but let's say he would permit you to sell it to a Gentile. So you'd be able to get benefit from it, you just couldn't eat it. To which the Gemara says, Yochala filu b'shogeg, Samara thought this is even true b'shogeg, Talmud lomar, mechalaleha mos yumas. Therefore the pasuk says, those who desecrate it will be put to death. V'meizid amarati l'cha v'lo b'shogeg. So therefore Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, bless you, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler holds that l'maisa, again, the ongoing prohibition of the item, both for the perpetrator as well as everyone else, is only if it was done b'meizid, but b'shogeg, ultimately, again, the item could be consumed by others on Matzei Shabbos. So pligi b'ravachav ravina. So we'll say, interestingly enough, now ravach and ravina have a machlokes about the shita of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Chad amar maaseh Shabbos d'oraisa. One opinion said that Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler's prohibition on maaseh Shabbos, on results generated or created on Shabbos, things produced on Shabbos, one says it's a biblical prohibition. The Chad amar maaseh Shabbos d'rabbanan. And one said that no. Ultimately, again, I will say, when we talk about Isra Achila, so for example, when Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler said that if you go ahead and you make something on Shabbos, that it is Aser, that Isra ultimately, again, is Da'oraisa. And one opinion said, no, it's only Aser D'Rabbanon. Man Damer Da'oraisa Kida'amon. So we'll say the opinion that holds, that according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, if you cook something or you make something on Shabbos, it's going to be Aser Ba'achila. So the one who says that is an Isra Da'oraisa. So we already explained that before. Those are the psukim before that we saw about Kodesh. Oman Damer D'Rabbanon. And the one who says that ultimately, again, it's Aser D'Rabbanon. Amar Kodesh. Amar Kra. Kodeshu. Who kodesh ve'in ma'as of kodesh? That the way to interpret the pasuk above says that when the pasuk says that Shabbos is kodesh, it means Shabbos is kodesh, but ain ma'as of kodesh. But above say that which you produce on Shabbos, even the forbidden things you do on Shabbos, are not kodesh, are not treated like sanctified items that are aser. Bishul Madam Doraisa. So according to Madam, who says Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's prohibition on these items is Doraisa. Amatu lahach yabudeis. Amatu lahachi hachi rabbanan. So we'll say, according to the man the Amr who says that when you go ahead and you do a malacha, according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, that the results of that malacha are aser nida'oraisa on Shabbos, then I understand why the rabbis exempt the perpetrator from Dalet Vehe. Why? Because well, so let's play this out. Reuven steals the animal and then he slaughters it on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, what just happened? The willful act of slaughter on Shabbos produces what result? It's an act of malacha b'mezid. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, that meat will be usher to everyone forever. If that meat is usher to everyone forever, then what do we call that? That's called a shchita she'ina ru'uya. And according to the Rabbanon, you are potter, your only time you're chayiv dalet vehei is when the shchita of the animal produces an animal that is fit for consumption, or meat that is fit for consumption. But if the animal is not fit for consumption, then what? Then the ma'aseh, there is no liability of dalet vehei. Elam adormid Rabbanon, amai pachi Rabbanon. But I will say, according to Mandam, who says that the results from Shabbos Malacha will only be asr midrabbanon, then amai pachi Rabbanon. Then why do the Rabbanon pater the individual for Dalet Vehei? In other words, we'll say, if at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler is only Rabbanon, then when Reuven goes in and checks the animal, as much as the animal will be asr midrabbanon for consumption, nevertheless, what? There should still be a biblical liability for Dalet Vehei. To which the Gemara says, Asha'ara, Avodazara Bishra Niskal. So we'll say, to which the Gemara answers, you're right. When the Rabbanon said that ultimately, again, you're Pater, in the Brisa was, the Pater statement was only going on Avodazara and Shra Niskal. That ain't Achinami, what the Brisa was saying like this, is if you shecht an animal for Avodazara purposes, that's when you're Pater Dalet Vehei. Why? Because that's the Shechita She'en Ruya, because there the Mamish, the animal, is Aser Ba'ano. You go ahead, a Shar Nisko already from the beginning is Aser Ba'ano. Therefore, if you shecht it the beat is asr ba'ana. Those are the cases ultimately where it's going to be a shechita shein aruya, and therefore you're going to be pater from dalet vehei. But in the case of Shabbos, in achinami the rabbanim would agree that what you would be chayiv dalet vehei. Why? Because at least according to this one opinion, even though Rabbi Yochanan Sanlev says that it's asr, it's only asr what? It's only asr midirabbanon, and therefore you'll be chayiv dalet vehei. Third line from the Tabra will say, "I'm ayin aleph amud beis." Rabbi Meir, amay mechayiv. So why does Rabbi Meir hold that in the case where you shech the animal for avodah zarah purposes, why does Rabbi Meir hold that you chayev dalet vehei? After all, kevan de shachad vapurta asra idach isuri hanahu below the marei katavach. Rabbi said the halacha is by avodah zarah that once you begin even that initial cut for avodah zarah purposes, what happens? That animal becomes designated as an avodah zarah animal. Once that animal becomes designated as an avodah zarah animal, then what? Then lemaisa, it's almost as if it's removed from my rishus. If it's removed from the ganav's rishus, then lemaisa, the rest of the act of the shechita is no longer done while the animal is under his ownership. If that's the case, then why should I be chayiv dalet vehei velo didi katavach? It turns out that the thief is not even actually sacrificing his own, or not sacrificing, slaughtering his own animal. To which the Gemara says, here's the case. Amar Rava ba'omer b'gemar zvicha hu. I'm sorry, bless you. Ba'omer b'gemar zvicha hu uvda. To which the Gemara says, what's the case? The case is where the thief says that I only have in mind that the animal should be set aside for avodah zarah when? At the end of the slaughtering. So we'll say, if that's the case, then lemaisa, again, there's a simultaneity that occurs. The shechita of the animal, and ultimately its designation for avodah zarah occur at the same time. And that's why he'll be chayiv dalet vehei. Shor haniskal isuri hanoninu. Lav d'mari katavach. So let's analyze this. A shor haniskal, we'll say, is actually very interesting. An animal that is already designated to be stoned is already asr ba'ana. Right? Because we'll also remember again, how does an animal killed someone and therefore is sentenced to die by the Beis Din. Once that sentence has been handed down, the lemaisa, the animal itself is asr ba'ana. If the animal is asr ba'ana and I take it and now I shecht it, my act to a certain degree is meaningless. Because we'll say, remember again, let's analyze this very carefully. When are you chayiv dalet vehei? When are you chayiv dalet vehei? When you steal and slaughter someone's animal. So Reuven steals an animal from Yaakov, right? That's, or Reuven steals from Shimon and then slaughters it. That's when there's a liability. I will say, if the animal is a shor haniskal, what does that mean? It's already been condemned to die from Beis Din. It's already been condemned to die. Who owns that animal? Who owns that animal? No. Effectively, no one. Effectively, no one, because the animal itself is asr ba'ana. If that's the case, then when Reuven, quote unquote, steals that animal and slaughters it, why is there any liability for dalet vehei in that case? He's essentially, it should be no different than if you took a hefker animal and slaughtered it and sold it. There's no liability because there's no defined owner. By a shor haniskal, it's asr ba'ana, and therefore there's no owner either. V'lav didei katavach. Amar Rava, I'm going to ask him, this is actually an interesting case. What's the case over here? Kegon, shemasra l'shomer. But say, here's the case. Reuven, I know I'm using all these names interchangeably, but what happened over here? Reuven went ahead and had an animal. Reuven gave over his animal to Shimon to watch. V'hizik bebeis shomer, v'huad bebeis shomer, v'nigmar dino bebeis shomer. So listen to this. Reuven gave his animal over to Shimon to watch, and Reuven's going out of town. So it's been a long weekend for this animal. What happens to this animal while it's in the rishus of Shimon? So we'll say, it's warned, it damages and it's warned, and essentially it becomes a muad, and it goes ahead and it kills again, and the mice again what? Now it's going to be put to death. So all of this is happening while the animal is in the rishus of the shomer. So what happens? We'll call Shimon the shomer. So Reuven's the owner of the animal, Shimon is the shomer. Now watch this, what happens? And Rabbi Meir saw like Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Meir both say holds like Rabbi Yaakov, but some like Rabbi Shimon, and he also holds like Rabbi Shimon. So what does this mean? Watch this. See, he says Savra like Rabbi Yaakov Damer. So we'll say now let's just play this up. There's one more piece over here. Now we'll call him Levi. Levi the Ganav comes and steals the shar from the home of Shimon the Shomer and slaughters it and sells it. Now watch this. So Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yaakov, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. So the Rabbi Yaakov, Damar, Af Mishen Nigmar Dino Echzir Shomer Labayla Mukhsar. So Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yaakov. And remember, Rabbi Meir had this before. Rabbi Yaakov holds that if Shimon the Shomer were now to show up at Reuven's doorstep and were to return the animal to Reuven, Rabbi Meir said, what would be the halacha? The halacha is that he discharges his obligation as a Shomer. Reuven says what? The animal I gave you a few days ago was what? Was a tam animal and not sentenced to death. And now you gave me back an animal that is a muad and is ready to die. So we'll say, Rabbi Yaakov Paskins, that what? That's called hezek she'eno nikker. That's called unrecognizable damage. And therefore, again, the shomer has the ability to say, hare shalcha lefanecha. Right? You gave me the shar, I'm giving you back. Does it look the same? Yes. Right? Does it behave the same? Yes. And so Lamai saying, I'm giving you back the very thing you gave me. I've discharged my obligation of returning the object you entrusted to me. Even though Rabbi say now, the object, the shar, has undergone a fundamental transformation from a halachic perspective, nevertheless, Shimon the Shomer discharges his obligation of returning the item. That's number one. V'savala krab Shimon da'amar, davar ha'garin l'mamon kimamon dami. Furthermore, he holds, like Rabbi Shimon who holds that, what Rabbi say, that something that would cause one to pay has the status of money. So we'll say, so now what? Let's play this out. This is an amazing case. See, here's the case. Reuven, the owner of the item, goes ahead and what? Reuven goes ahead and deposits his shar with Shimon. Shimon, watch my animal. While the animal is in the rishus of Shimon, the animal now becomes liable to a death penalty. Right? So what happens now? In the interim, so Levi, the ganav, comes along and steals the shar, steals it and slaughters it and sells it. So Rabbi say, now we're going to say that's what. So remember, we're looking for a case of where Levi the Ganov will be chayiv dalit vehei for stealing and slaughtering a shor haniskal. What's the case, says the Gemara? I'm sorry, not on Shabbos, right? It's Sunday now. Shabbos is over, right? So what happens? So Rabbi say, so what's going to be that case? The Gemara suggests it's the case of where Levi steals the object from Shimon the Shomer's domain. Shimon the Shomer could have technically returned that shor as is to Reuven, because we'll say, even though again now that shor is a fundamentally different shor, but again it's hezek shein or nikker, it's unrecognizable damage, Shimon could go ahead and return that item. We'll say, so that's number one. So there, number two is what? Number two is that anything that would cause a person to outlay money, or anything that would cause a loss of money to a person is what? Is considered to be like money itself. Therefore, when Levi the Ganav steals the shar from Shimon the Shomer, Levi the Ganav is stealing something from Shimon that has value. Even though Rabbo said it is a shar that is condemned to death, it still has value. Why does it have value? Because Shimon could have returned that object, that shor itself, to Reuven. And furthermore, again, because Shimon could have fulfilled his obligation to Reuven by returning that very shor, when that shor is now stolen, it causes financial liability from Shimon to Reuven. Because of all of this, Rabbi said, therefore what? That shor has value. Because that shor has value, even though it's called the shor haniskal, Levi the Ganav will be chayiv dalid vehe. An incredible case. So the Gemara says this night, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Osei, so now the Gemara just continues on this theme. I'm sorry? To Shimon the Shomer. To Shimon the Shomer. He's really right. It's important. But Levi's relationship, when we say Levi is chayiv dalid vehe, interestingly enough, the Dalet Vehei is to Shimon the Shomer, not to Reuven the original, not to Reuven the owner. So this nan, so we'll say, when we speak about this idea of Davar Hagorin the Mamukim Mamundami, this nan, because we learn, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kachim Shechayiv Achar Yusen Chayiv, we'll say, because Rabbi Shimon holds, that if you have kachim for which you are responsible, ultimately, again, you are Shechayiv Achar Yusen, look at Rashi just a moment, kachim Shechayiv Achar Yusen, Ganav Shaganav Kachim, we'll say if you have a ganav who stole sacrificial animals from the home of the owner of those animals, im kiblam bailov alav ba'achrayis kigon damar hare alai ola v'hifrish zu chayiv l'shalim kefir. This is actually an interesting case. If you are to have the following situation of ultimately a ganav who stole sacrificial animals from the home of the owners, if the owner had taken personal responsibility over the karbanos, the ganav would be chayiv to pay kefil, even though what Rabbi say, even though although those animals, technically speaking, were consecrated, not technically, were consecrated animals. Alma, what do you see from here? Therefore, you see from here that something that ultimately causes a financial loss has the status of money itself. I said over this ruling in front of Rabbi Zudav Narda, so are you only setting up the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Shimon? But yet, look at the end of the Mishnah. What does the end of the Mishnah say? Rabbi Shimon Paters are both saying the last two cases of the Mishnah. Michlal debekula mas nisan modu, which sounds like Rabbi Shimon agrees. In the rest of the cases, Aralei lo michlal betavach umachar lerefuah leklavim. No, the end of the Mishnah rather is just coming to say that Rabbi Shimon agrees in the case of Rabbi Shimon of where you went ahead and you slaughtered the animal for the sake of refuah, for medicinal purposes, or to feed it to your dogs, i.e., non-consumption purposes. That what? That lemaisa, again, you would still be chayiv in that case. In that case, that ultimately, again, even Rav Shimon who holds that has to be a shechita. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is l'refuah l'klavim. V'itzrach l'ashmoinar afagav d'Rav Shimon shechita shein ruya losh m'shechita. Even Rav Shimon holds that an unfit shechita is not normally a good shechita. Nevertheless, hach shechita ruya kachashavla. I'm also saying in a case where you shech the animals, we'll discuss this in greater depth tomorrow, but in a case where ultimately you shech the animal, let's say not for the purpose of consumption, but for medicinal purposes or to give it to your dogs, Rav Shimon would still hold that that is a valid shechita. Says the Gemara. So we'll say, you know what? Well, let's go just one more line. Ganav mishal aviv etavachu machar. So we'll say, if you went ahead and you stole from your father, you stole it from your father, and you went ahead and you slaughtered and sold it. So we'll say, so now the Mishnah is going to jump off that case for just a moment. Let's at least, we'll phrase the question, and then we'll stop for today. Boimine Rava Meirav Nachman. Sravas Fangash Rav Nachman. Ganav Shor Shal Shnei Shutvin Utuvacha Vahodula Echa Mehen Mahu. So we'll say, listen to this case. I stole a shor belonging to two partners. Reuven and Shimon are partners. I stole a shor from them. Right, jointly owned shor. And what happens? I went ahead and I admitted my theft to one of them. So as I say, here's the case. So I stole a shor that is jointly owned. I said to Reuven, Reuven, I admit to you that I stole your shor. But remember, the halacha is that the chiyav adalid vehei does not exist in a case where you admitted your liability. Why not? Because again, dalid vehei is a knas. Moda b'knas is pater. If you admit a penalty payment, you are pater. I admit it to one of the parties. What's the halacha? Do we say chamisha bakar amrach one of alo chamisha chatzai bakar? So on one hand, do we say the 4 and 5 time penalty payment only applies when there's complete liability? In other words, you only say 4 and 5 times you pay, but half of 4 and 5 times you don't pay. O dilma chamisha bakar amrach one of va'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. I will say at the end of the day, or do we say that what? Do we say you only play complete liability but never partial liability? In other words, we're asking, does the knas itself devolve upon complete liability, or does the knas itself devolve upon partial liability as well? To which the Gemara answers, Amalei chamisha baka amrachmana velo chamisha chatzai bakar. No, we all, either the chamisha only applies when there is a complete claim. But if there is only a partial claim, there is no chiyuv of arba v'chamisha. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, in a case of where I steal a shar from a jointly owned shar, I admit my liability to one of the owners. The Gemara now posits that what? I will be potter from Dalid Vehe on the remaining liability. We'll say we'll stop over here. We're going to challenge that assertion tomorrow, but we'll stop over here for today.
Anyone lost remote control?